Father, we acknowledge your presence here. Lord, we come together as your people, Lord, broken in some ways, and it feels, Lord, sometimes, Lord, beyond repair. But Lord, we thank you. You are in our case, O God. You say you're building your church, you're building your people. You're building people of purpose, people of power, Lord God, and we pray that you will have your way. Father, that you will have your way fully in our midst. Thank you, Lord. As we gather, Lord, I pray, Lord, that all the songs and the words and prayers, Lord God, go up before you as a sweet incense and aroma. Hallelujah, Father. And even as we just simply gather, that you release your healing, children's bread today, Lord. We pray that, Lord, that you will just release, oh God, physical healing, Lord, mental healing, emotional healing, that we may, Lord, be strong, Lord God, to do your will. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 It's good. Good morning. How are you? So good to see you. Thank you for praying for us. Mia and I mean, we had a wonderful break. We just come back and refreshed, and it's so good to be together in the house. I just gotta look at the right thing. Well, why don't we worship the Lord with our tithes and offerings first? Okay, we get the ushers to come forward. Okay. David, welcome back. How was your overseas, Malaysia? Good, good. We have so many people going back and forth. Would you like to pray for the offering, David?
Father God, we thank you for the wonderful blessing that you bestowed each one of us, that we can offer to, as a blessing back to you, O Lord, for what you have done in our life. For all you have done in our life, we continue to give you thanks and grateful in all our hearts. And we pray all this in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you. David is leading a home group in Linfield, right? Kilara. Okay, while the bag's going around, just a couple of announcements. Next week, we have Pastor Barry Chen coming to minister to us. He's a founder of Table College. He's a real scholar, so we are very blessed to have him. And then next 2 months, we have a lot of guests in GI to minister to us. Pastor Cornelio Perez is coming to minister to us in small groups as well as, on Sunday here as well. So take notice of that. It's in our website. He's a man of tremendous experience and, I mean, tremendous testimonies in overseas mission. He was just went by faith. Him and his wife were sent and went without newsletter, without much of any support. But God just really broke open nations before them. I was just amazed to hear their testimony, so I'm very excited. And then Pastor Tony McLennan, and just want to highlight Rabbi Baruch Korman is coming to Sydney to minister on 25th, on Saturday, in the city. Our friend, their Christian, is really helping out to organize this, actually sponsoring the event, and Derek Prince Ministry is looking after this event. So we got the brochures at the back. Anything that you want to say, Christian, about?
Oh, everyone's just welcome.
Okay. Good. Registration is still open. So this is a Saturday all-day event. And then after that, Sunday morning, he's coming to preach here, so praise God. We are very blessed. Thank you, Christian. In fact, Christian has also, in fact, just joined our fellowship, right? So why don't we give them a hand? Yeah. Actually, do you want to say hello, Christian? No? You want to say hello? What made you to choose to make this home group, your home church?
Thank you. Well, bless you, everyone. We've, my wife and my daughter, Vanessa, who's not here, unfortunately, we've been looking at various churches, visiting various churches, and, you know, they're all nice. But I really encourage you all, because we've really found a spiritual home here. There's a lot of love here. There's a lot of the anointing of the Lord is here. And I know it's because you preach the word and you're friends of Israel, but I just want to encourage you all, because we notice a considerable difference. It's God's doing something here. So, you know, we're privileged and blessed to be a part of it. So thank you for having us. It's we look forward to fellowshipping with you as well.
Oh, fantastic. Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Christian. Looking forward to getting to know you, and I should take more holidays. All right. Yeah, there are many other events. You can look at it. The prayer network, you know, School of Intercession, special worship conference. So check all that out. And registration is still open. So make sure we register. It's a very special opportunity. So that's it, I think. Oh, yeah, Peter. Give him a hand. He's a good man. He's done a lot of work. Peter. All right, he's going to give us a report. How are we doing financially? Doing okay.
We are actually doing okay.
Okay.
Just that our lodgement to Fair Trading, we are requested to actually lodge our audit report. Can you show the audit report, please? Yeah, previously I told many of you, right? In fact, I did a presentation on a church accounts. Can you make it bigger, please? Is that any way we can make it bigger? Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Now, previously I told you that our accounts is basically reviewed and not audited, okay? Because we are still under we are not classified a large entity as yet to be audited, but Fair Trading requested us to actually have our account audited. So I approached our auditors, our reviewer, and he did came up with the audit report. Okay, so this is the audit report. It just says that our accounts is accurate. I have to present it to everyone. It just basically says that our accounts is accurate. And because it's for audit, we have to change our basis. We cannot prepare our accounts according to cash basis. Okay, strictly our accounts is prepared according with cash basis. So there's an emphasis on matters written there. Just go up a bit, please. Can we go down? Go down. Yes. No. Not so down. Yeah. That middle there. There's something to raise a matter that the accounting policy has to be on a accrual basis, not cash basis, but our accounts is actually prepared on a cash basis. But to me, cash basis is more transparent. And we have always done it on a cash basis. If we want the accounts to be on a accrual basis, then we have to change it next year, you know. But there's emphasis on matter that raised there. Okay, any questions so far? If not, I'll just, you'll agree. If you want a copy of accounts, I can actually forward to you. There's no problem. Okay, or you can go to the website and download it yourself. It's all very transparent anyway. Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Peter. That was good. Sweet. All right. Okay, I'm going to welcome my wife, Mia, come and share. What did God speak to you during holiday?
Amen. Paul said, why don't you share? Because he felt he's got to give himself to the Lord in prayer. I thought, if that's the case, I should do it. Anything to, as a helper to my husband. If he needs to seek the Lord, then I'll take whatever burden. I'm the helper. And I like being a helper. I hope I become a better helper. thank you, yeah. What Paul said was, so I thought, how about we have long worship meeting and hear from the Lord from the congregation, and have a short preaching time. Go ahead. So, Paul allowed me to be conversational. I talk with Jesus, and you hear the overflow of my conversation with the Lord. That's what I do. And at Paul's request, I thought I'll just share something very simple that I felt the Lord speak to me while we were taking holidays in Queensland. The weather was beautiful. I know it's very cold here. And a few things that I felt the Lord was saying to me, I thought I'd just share with you just comfortably. Yeah, just Maybe before I do that, we visited this particular church in Gold Coast. We just walked in. We thought it was a kind of church like ours. We walked in. It was church like ours, similar songs and similar feel. And afterwards, I went to see this an elderly gentleman. I think it was from Philippines, and he was in that church was 17 years old, about 100 people, and there was this Filipino gentleman, an elderly gentleman who was looking after the Filipino group, and I found out that he was with the church from the beginning, and he walked with the Lord for many, many, many years. So when I see somebody like that, I tend to actually go and ask questions. So I said, what made you last this long? How did you persevere and be faithful for decades? I know the answer. It's the same. Well, the answer is the same no matter who I ask. I can say the same thing. But what I find the difference is, you know, when Elijah raised the little boy from death, the widow, the mother, said to the prophet, "Say, now I know the word of the Lord in your mouth is the truth." That Bible verse shook me. "Now I know," she said, "the word of the Lord in your mouth is the truth." Does that mean some of the words that in my mouth may not be as truthful? But I don't think we are saying somebody's lying or whatever. But depending on the person's walk with God, I found that what comes out of the person's mouth can have different impact. That's why when I meet somebody who's walked with God for decades and when stayed faithful, and I can see the fruit of faithfulness in the way they worship, in the way they walk with the Lord, in the way they care for the young, then I want to learn. So I went to him and I said, how did you last? So he went through all kinds of persevering things. In fact, in Philippines, volcanoes erupting, village being evacuated, church being decimated. And now the church came back. Now 20 churches instead of one, you know, 15 years later. Now he's in Australia. He's looking after this his small group of Filipinos. And I could see such faithfulness. So how did you walk this faithfully? What is your secret that you want to teach somebody who's younger than you, who's got some more miles to cover? And he said, "I stay close to Jesus. I stay close to Jesus. And I stay in his presence. I look to him all the time. I look to him through storms of life and everything. I look to him." And I could see this fruit of this peace in him, fruit of peace. And I thought, you know, I hear that many. I can preach it, you know, I can say it. But when it comes from somebody who walked, there's a weight that comes out of his, the person's life that comes into my spirit and makes me stronger and makes me more determined. Yes. I want to follow Jesus like this man follows Jesus. You know, Apostle Paul said, "Follow me as I follow Christ." When I see people following Christ solidly, decades and decades and decades, and I feel, yes, I'm learning something. So having said that, thank you, Daryl, for your word last week. I haven't heard it yet because it's not on the website yet, but I've heard brilliant, feedback. And Leili was saying, it is because he has walked it. It is because he has lived it. I know. So it's such a privilege to be in the house of the Father where God is raising up his sons who become fathers in his house. It's such a privilege. So whenever I see it happen, I just feel, Lord, I'm so deeply humbled, and I want to learn. I want to learn from the men and the women that you're raising up in your house. Having said that, let me go to a few things that I felt the Lord was saying while we were taking rest in Gold Coast. We didn't do much, actually. We actually slept. just so tired. We slept and got up and ate and slept. So it was a good rest for us. And there were three things that I felt the Lord was bringing to my heart. The word that was resonating is somewhere in my spirit, and it was this. One was when Paul, I think it was 7 years ago, when before Paul, we had GI planted, he was wrestling with the Lord, and he was asking God. Obviously, you do that, yeah? You ask God. And God spoke to him of several things. And one thing that really hit me, was this. God spoke to Paul one thing that, I want you to make a transition. I want you to make a transition from ministry to myself. I'll just say it again, yeah? I want you to make a transition as he takes a step of faith and risk. God said to him, I want you to make a transition from your ministry to myself. It really hit me, impacted me when Paul shared it many years ago. And for some reasons that I couldn't understand, while we were resting and my mind was getting a bit rested, it was ringing in my heart, making a transition from ministry to myself, to God himself. The reason being, you know, Paul being Paul, any man or woman, with, you know, you tend to ministry. You do that, yeah? You know, because you have, especially men, women too, but you know, you have certain ambition, certain thing that you really want to do, that is your calling, that God has given it to you, yeah? But God says, even then, make a transition from that place to myself. And I think it's been taking like now 7 years. I'm thinking, Paul, I don't think you made a transition in one go like that. I'm thinking you've been making the transition all these years, and I think you're closer. That's what I said to Paul. I think you're closer. In Exodus chapter 19, I think it's verse 5, yeah, where, you know, it's the place where God says to Israel that God redeemed the nation of Israel from slavery in Egypt with a mighty hand. Bible says, I redeemed you with my mighty hand, delivered you from out of Egypt, from slavery. You know, whenever you, what is redemption? When you say, what is redemption? You just do a Bible search. Then whenever you see the word redeem, you mark those words. Redeem is a very strong Bible word. And it's always, almost always, 99% occurs with a salvation. I think somebody's locked out. with God coming to Egypt, coming to Israel, and to save them from slavery. Save them from slavery. I have redeemed you with my mighty hand. That's what the Bible says all the time, almost all the time. I redeemed you and I brought you. And Bible says in Exodus chapter 19, he says, you have seen in Mount Sinai, God is entering into a covenant with Israel as a nation. Before it was Abraham, you know, it was as individuals. But now as a nation, God's word for the nation is coming to pass. God's entering into a covenant with the nation of Israel at Mount Sinai. And he says this. He says, you've seen what I did to the Egyptians. And how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. That's what Exodus says. I would have thought, no, God, you brought them to Sinai and you want to take them to Canaan. No. But God said, no, I redeemed you with a mighty hand, bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Our address is really God himself. And it reminded me of Apostle Paul. I am convinced that Apostle Paul is somebody that God has raised up in the New Testament. Someone who would model for the church, for God's people, what it means to love the Lord Jesus, what it means to follow him, what it means to serve him. I am convinced the Apostle Paul, God has raised up especially for that purpose. Why? Because he was not one of the 12. He didn't see Jesus face to face. To be apostles of the Lamb, as in that you should be eyewitness of his ministry on earth, eyewitness of his death and resurrection, so that they can say, I've seen it with my own eyes. Jesus was anointed by God to do all these powerful things and mighty things, and he died and he rose from the dead, as the scripture says, and we saw it with our own eyes, and he is the Lord. He's the signs and wonders. So that's the apostolic thing. But Apostle Paul was not one of those 12. He was not part of the band. He did not know Jesus when Jesus was on earth in his body. But he was called afterwards by the power of the Holy Spirit and encountered Jesus. And this man loved Jesus in a way that I'm not sure whether we can see such an example elsewhere. And he follows Jesus, loves Jesus, and serves him with a heart that is, that I believe that God. Why is the New Testament so full of Apostle Paul? I'm quite convinced it's because he is the model that God is giving us. This is how you love my son. This is how you follow my son. This is how you serve my son. And Apostle Paul said this. He said, you know, towards the end of his life, I'm always struck by Apostle Paul's, you know, when you read the scriptures, when you read the Gospel of John or something, you know, or Revelation or epistles of Paul, Paul's letters, there are many times when I go, Lord, sometimes I say, what kind of relationship, for example, Apostle John, what kind of relationship did this man have with Jesus? What kind of a walk did this man have with the Lord that he could write something like this? How could he write down something like this? He couldn't unless his walk with God, unless his knowledge, unless it's not just knowledge here, unless he knew the Lord, unless he knew the Lord really, deeply, personally, heard his voice, could obey his voice, and give his life to him. And Apostle Paul said, I want to be found in Christ. I want to be found in Christ. One of the things he said was, I want to be like a drink offering. I'm like a drink offering poured out upon the altar. The thing about drink offering is that you can pour it out to the very last drop, yeah? Very last drop. Apostle Paul loved the Lord so much that he did not want one few drops saved for himself, saved for something else, but he wanted that even to the very last drop to be poured out for Jesus upon the altar. How do you, oh Lord, help me, help us, help the, I believe we are probably the end time generation. I don't think we have, you know, I don't know. But I believe we are closer to the end. And I believe the Father will raise up a generation for his son who loves him. Who loves him. Who loves him. And will follow him. Will follow him like Apostle Paul did. I believe the Father is aiming at raising up a generation like that. So when the word that just kept reverberating in my heart that Paul heard Lord speak to him about seven years ago, yeah, make a transition from your ministry to myself, and I don't really say this to Paul too much. I should. You know, wives, you should encourage your husbands. we are bad. We nag our husbands. We are bad. I need to repent. One of the other things that God spoke to me during the holidays is that confess your sins one to another. Pray for each other that you may be healed. And I felt the Lord saying, if you keep confessing somebody else's sin, you will not be healed. We are very good at confessing somebody else's sin, not very good at confessing our sin. Because it takes revelation to see our own sin. It doesn't take revelation to see other people's sin. It's very easy. I can analyze to the T. I can just write it in a 100-page report. It's very easy to see other people's sin. But it takes a supernatural grace and revelation to see our own sinfulness, see our own pride, see our own failings, yeah? And it takes grace of God. It takes grace of God. It takes grace of God to see our own pride. You know, devil makes us feel guilty. That is special. That's his ministry. Making you feel guilty is his ministry. But there's one thing that he will not make you feel guilty about. It's about pride. Devil will never make us feel guilty about feeling pride. I don't know why I'm going on like this. But I feel, oh Lord. Yeah, as a wife, I think many wives can relate to me, yeah? Oh Lord, I gotta be a better wife, you know? I gotta be an encourager, not a nagger. I have to support and help, not just nag my husband. So anyway, I said a little bit of sorry to Paul during the holiday. And Yeah, but I'm certain that oh Lord, help us wives, oh God, to be humble and to encourage our husbands, put courage into our husbands, and see the holy and high calling in our husbands. And lift him up before the Lord. Lord, help us. Lord, help us. We wives need that help. Because often we can see that the wrong things our husbands do and nag him, yeah? But that's not going to help him. That's not going to help us. Yeah. Amen. Amen. And I'm still unpacking this one. When we arrived in Gold Coast, the Bible verse was just, this Bible verse was keep reverberating in my heart. I don't still know what the Lord is exactly saying. And it was this: you are those who have stood with me in my trials. You are those who have stood with me in my trials. That's from Luke 22. It's that Last Supper. Jesus is sharing the Last Supper with his disciples. And he knows it's the Last Supper. And he looks at his, actually 11 disciples. One is already, you know, Judas is gone. And he's looking at 11 disciples and you are the ones who have stood with me in my trials. And what it reminds me of, I'm sure it'll unpack over time. What do you know how Jesus, when he had success, healed the sick, feed the 5,000 and the 4,000 and the how many thousands, then people flocked to him, healing and then when he began to say some hard things, your ancestors ate manna that came down from heaven and they died. But I am the true bread that came down from heaven. And if you eat me, if you drink, I'm the true drink. I'm the true bread. If you eat me and drink me, you will live. And it confused people. And they begin to go. They go, I don't know what you're talking about. One by one, they're departing him. And he's got his little group left behind. And he says, are you going to leave me too? And Peter says this, he said, where shall we go, Lord? You have the word of life. Remember how Baba Word of God says, mention the lipa bread alone, but every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God, you have the word of life. Where shall we go? Where shall we go? So those who stood with Jesus through all his trials, from all his persecution, from the Pharisees and the Sadducees and whoever. And in my heart, I was thinking, Lord, I want to stay faithful. I want to stay faithful. And Lord, I want to be found in the company of those, Lord, who will stay with you all the way. All the way, by your grace. Because there are times, you know, when it's hard, you feel like it's getting off and getting back on when it's a bit easier. Yeah, but Lord, by your grace, we will, oh Lord, stay faithful. Stay with you, stay faithful to you, stay faithful to your calling, stay faithful to your voice, follow you no matter where, no matter what it looks like, stay faithful all the way. So that was, I think there's more to come as to why God is saying that to me, but that's something I thought about. And I thought finally I'll just share something that I received when I was a child, when I was not a teenager, 15. Because it came back to me again, and it came back to me with a renewed meaning, I think. I had a dream. I think I was year 9. I had a dream. In the dream, somebody opened a book before me. It was a children's storybook. You know, a children's storybook, a little bit of writing and pictures, yeah? And this storybook had a picture that was moving. It was animated. It was like watching a movie, but it was a picture. It was, you know, it's a dream. And then a hand came down and began to turn pages. And then it opened to a page where I saw a plant. I saw a plant that was planted, and I could see somehow, probably because it's a dream, I could see underneath. I could see the soil, I could see underneath, and I could see the root. Plant up and soil and roots downwards. And I saw a hand came down from heaven and took that plant. A big hand, it took the plant like that. And it was not quite shaking it, but was kind of almost like a testing it, about 5 times, just moving it like this, or doing it like that, like this. And I could see, because I could see, strangely, the cross-section of the tree underneath the soil, I could see when the hand went like this, the root, the plant had a root that was actually, the main root of the plant was straight. Very, it was thick and straight, going all the way down. But it had also subroots coming out from the main root, that's coming this way, little tendrils coming this way, that way, just like any root would be. And when the hand came down and took the hold of the plant and began to move it, like not hard, but firm, then I could see underneath the soil, the sub-branches, sub-roots were getting cut off, just cut off here and cut off there, and until the main root remained. And I woke up, and as I woke up, the word came to me. That's how God used to speak to me when I was a child. The word came to me, and that word was this: every plant that my Heavenly Father has not planted will be plucked up by the roots. I didn't even know that was in the Bible, because, you know, you don't know, yeah, but later I found it in the Bible. And the voice continued. The voice said, but every plant that my Heavenly Father has planted shall be tested. Every plant that my Father has not planted will be plucked up by the roots. But every plant that my Father has planted shall be tested. That's how I woke up. And being a child, I thought, maybe testings come. I didn't think much of it, actually. But word of God being word, you know, word of the Lord, when the word of the Lord comes, that was 30, 40 years ago, and it unpacks when God speaks, it is alive. It's a living word that penetrates your spirit and it gets deposited and it begins to unpack. Just unpack over time, more and more and more and more. And even though I got it at 15, it unpacks for me over the years. And it came back to me. This dream came back to me during the holiday. And I felt that the Lord was saying, well, probably to me, yeah, to me, that you know, we know about pruning. We all know about pruning. Jesus said, the branches in me that does not bear fruit shall be cut off. Branches that bear fruit will be pruned so that you be more fruitful. We know all about pruning. And those things do happen. But I felt when the Lord does deal with our roots from time to time at major juncture of our life. And when the Lord deals not with the branches, but with a root, it's a little bit more foundational, a little bit more fundamental. And I think pruning is painful, we get cut back. But when God begins to deal with roots of our life, God is doing something, a bit, in my opinion, a bit more. What he's doing, I think he's doing, he's dealing a certain measure of death. Certain measure of death that we need, that we need. What I saw in that, as I began to understand that dream that I had as a child, the main root, you know, we are to be rooted in Christ, bearing fruit upwards, being established in Christ, as the Colossians. And when our roots begin to have a detour sometimes, you know, we grow subroots and begin to hold on to something that is very, just, you know, something that may be really important to us. Who knows what it may be? Some people it's children. Some people it's marriage. Some people it might be money. Some people, like Paul and myself, it can be ministry. Yeah, it can be over. It's not a bad thing. It's not a sinful thing, as we all know. But even that which God has given to us, when it becomes something that we possess and hold, mine, it cannot stay that way. It cannot stay that way. Just like Abraham had to offer up Isaac. He had to offer up Isaac. Isaac, God gave him Isaac. It's his vision, it's his dream, it's the promised child, promised of the Father, promise of God. Took 25 years to get the child. And take your son, your only son, whom you love. That's how the Bible says it. Take your son, your only son, whom you love. Take him to Moriah and offer this burnt offering. I'm thinking, oh Lord, you really know how to rub it in. I believe when God deals with the root of our life, he wants the, even, you know, you cannot see roots of a tree. We don't know. We can only see the above ground, underground, we can't see. But God sees. And it matters to God. In fact, I believe roots matter more to God than what's on the outside. What men see, we all see. But what men don't see underneath, God sees. I think that matters more to God. And when the root of our life, when we are to be rooted in Christ, in Christ only, but when we begin to develops tendrils and sub-branches underneath, holding on to something else as our security, something else as our false hope, something else as our whatever it may be, then it's the mercy and the grace of God, I believe. He comes and takes hold of our plant, and he firmly, I believe he'll do some amount of testing, some amount of shaking, some amount of moving, so that these things we are holding on to, whatever it may be, gets cut off. And our main root, root in Christ, stays strong and firm, and that main root grows. And you know, the sub branches from that root does not grow. I believe that's what God does with our life. And in Proverbs, it says, 12, it says, the root of the righteous shall not be moved. The root of the righteous shall not be moved. Can we get to a place where nothing moves us but God? We're not moved by anything but the Lord. We only hear Him and we follow Him, we obey Him, and we are firmly founded and rooted in Christ and Christ only. And we don't have some hidden cards somewhere else. I felt that was what God was speaking to me. And maybe I'll just tell you a couple of stories to maybe make the illustration a bit less heavy. I was told, carpenter who was in a carpentry business for decades. And as a businessman, he said he welcomes recession. He welcomes recession. Why? When the carpentry is in fashion and money is to be, quick buck is to be made, and success is there, everyone comes and they all join to make money and to this and to that, to have, you know, to share in the pie. And you don't know the true carpenter from the false one. One who's after money, one who's in it because it's his calling. And recession comes, money dries up, and all the pretenders and fakes, they leave the market. But he says, and then we will see the remnant staying. They are the truly called. They are called to carpentry. They do it because they're called to do the work of the carpentry. And he said, in business, we need recession. I thought, okay, we need recession. We call it pruning, yeah? Pruning. I worked in this airline company for about 3 years. I've been in IT for about 10 years. In this airline company for 3 years. And I think it was a general manager in a meeting. He said to us, he said, when there was a lot of money to be made, economy was booming, money was everywhere, and this airline company began to expand into all kinds of businesses because money was there to be made. They made T-shirts. What? Airline company making T-shirts? Why you make T-shirt? make branches, all kinds of things, and then recession came. He was hit with a vengeance, and they began to cut off all these things that they were doing for a quick buck because money was there, because everyone was doing it, everyone was going into, they want a market share. They cut that all off, and they returned to their calling of flying. That's their calling. And they got rid of the T-shirt. They got rid of all the other sub-branches. I thought, isn't that interesting? Isn't that interesting? I believe when God brings, you know, personal recessions into our lives, I believe it's a blessing in disguise. Blessing in disguise. When we have too much resource, we do lots of things that can waste our time, waste our life, and our life is limited. We don't have... it's not first come, first go. We have limited amount of time. And we have to use our time well. When we have too much resource, we can do anything. We've got too many options. Then we waste our life. We don't follow our calling because we don't have to. But... I'm a little bit fluey. Excuse me. Yeah, yeah. But when God brings, I believe by His hand, not all the time, you know, but there are times when God brings recession into our life, the pruning into our life, when now we got limited resources, then we begin to find out, I'm not going to waste my valuable time and energy and strength and money and whatever that I have on things that doesn't matter to me. It doesn't matter in eternity. It doesn't matter to God. If we have limited resource, then we have to then use it for our fundamental, foundational, true calling, whatever it may be. So that when God brings such times in our life, while it's painful, I believe it's a blessing in disguise that we'll thank the Lord for it in eternity. I think we'll thank the Lord for the trials we endured, for the rejections we suffered, for the injustices. Because those things made us, just like Apostle Paul, he said, I press forward to the upward calling in Christ. Why do you press forward? Why? Because there's a pressure coming against you. Then you press forward. And I believe God in his wisdom, allows certain seasons in our life so that our life will be redeemed. Our time and our lives will be redeemed for his holy and high calling and purpose and not wasted. I have one simple philosophy that I try to live by, is that if God did not receive it, it means nothing, it's wasted. If I go to work, if I wash dishes, if I preach, if I do whatever it is, if I did not do it unto the Lord, if God did not receive it, it's nothing, it's wasted. So if I wash dishes, if I clean the house, if I drive the car, if I put up chairs, if I did it unto the Lord and he has received it, then it is eternally received and remembered and stored by the Lord for his enjoyment, for his pleasure. That's the one simple theory that I try and live by. If the Lord received it, then it's glorious. If the Lord didn't receive it, no matter what, how good it looked, we can look good. We can make ourselves look good. We can print brochures and do internet and we can look good. But I don't think God is fooled by, not all that glitter is gold. Yeah. And God knows underneath. He cares about what's underneath the plant where men can't see, but he sees. He sees and he cares about those areas, the deepest motivations of our heart, deepest desires and hunger, the center we have in our heart. God cares about those things. And he'll deal with them. And if the Lord receives my life, your life, if the Lord receives my 1 hour there, my 2 minutes there, my 10 minutes there, then the Lord has it. If he did not receive it, it just went wasted. It doesn't matter who looks at it, it doesn't matter who knows or don't know. That's one simple thing that I try and live by. No, I better stop. Amen. So maybe just three things that I feel the Lord speak to me, that in case the Lord speaks to you also, yeah? Make transition from your ministry to myself. You are those who have stood with me in my trials. Every plant that my Father has not planted shall be uprooted, but every plant that my Father has planted shall be tested. I'll leave those three things with you. In Jesus' name, amen. Yeah.
Thank you, Mia. That's good. Ooh, whenever Mia shares, it's quite heavy. But it's good, yeah. Okay, why don't we all stand? Let's, the last song, we want to sing the last song again. I I hope that you have something to take away from that very personal sharing. I also woke up every morning quite early with a prayer every morning. When you actually move away, make some changes, it's amazing. Sometimes God speaks to you in a fresh way. So that was really, really good for me as well. I mean, the Lord was, for me, the prayer was, Romans 12, verse 1 to 3. Give your life as a living sacrifice to God. And when you put your life on the altar, you don't quite take it back. It's just there. And then when it goes up in smoke, you don't quite know what you're going to get. All you know is that without knowing, you're going to give your life to God. And then leave it there. And God will make something out of it. And God is faithful. But I felt a fresh invitation for me. Last few weeks, in fact, couple of months, constant prayer. One of the deepest prayers in my heart is, Lord, I want to leave my life on the altar. And don't take it back. Don't take it back. And then you don't know. Because it's a daily walking. Sometimes we put our life, I put my life on the altar when I was in high school. Lord, you can have me, you can use me any way you want. I'll go anywhere. As years go by, when things don't turn out beautiful very quickly, we begin to wonder, Lord, I want to take it back. Sometimes we wonder, whether God has received it. Just leave it there. Leave it there. You give it, and then God is faithful. Hallelujah. We find out on the other side. Hallelujah. God has planted you a healthy, good tree. Planted you in His kingdom, Jesus. Hallelujah. Sometimes shaking comes, but we're going to bear much fruit. Amen? You and I, we're going to all bear much fruit. This church will bear much fruit to God. Despite our weaknesses, and we are going to have an altar here. Our church is house of prayer, is a place of altar where we constantly bring our lives before God and leave it there on the altar. Hallelujah. Let our lives go up as a smoke before God and let God make something beautiful. And let God make us one as we live our lives on the altar together. Amen.
Father,
God, right here. Hallelujah. Father, we gather as your body, O God. Lord, not only just come to sing a good song, Lord, we want to bring our lives, O God, before the altar. Oh, Father God, and we want to offer you, Lord, our heart, our soul, our life, O God. Lord, let it go up by the fire of the Holy Spirit, O God, before you, Father. And Lord, command your life, O God, and blessing in this place. Father, I pray that every heart, every person who needs encouragement, who needs power, who needs word, O God, Lord God, who needs, Lord God, your Holy Spirit, Lord. Father, that you blow, O God. Wind of the Holy Spirit, O God, blow, O God. Father, let your fire fall. Lord, that you are the power that we need, O God, to go on. Lord, to bear much fruit for you, O God, for your kingdom. Lord, in this life, Father, Lord, we cry out for fruitfulness in our life, fruit for you. Father, we cry out, O God, for the Holy Spirit to come and fill our hearts. O God, we cry out, O God, to live meaningful life, life that is different, O God. Lord, we cry out, God, that our life will be a praise and pleasure to you, Lord. Father, we cry out, O God, in the midst of business, in the midst of distraction, O God, Lord, that our lives will land in your heart, Father God, that our life will not miss the mark. Lord, we will not get busy, O God, with things, O God, to achieve even for you, but Father, that our hearts will be focused in loving you. Lord, we pray at the end of our life, oh God, we can say, Lord, we will look, Lord God, in the eyes of your heart, Lord, and say, Lord, that we loved you. Lord, we made our life a transition towards you, oh God. God himself, Jesus Christ, oh God, our passion, Father God. Lord, obsession in our heart, oh God. Lord, you are glorious. Father, I pray you will set our hearts aflame again in love for you. Lord, you commanded us to love you with all our heart. Father, we pray, oh God, give us, oh God, that love of God, that we'll not be afraid of failures, that I'll not be afraid, oh God, of accusation, that I'll not be afraid, oh God, of missing the mark. Lord, heart that is mighty, oh God, will be given to you, Father God, mighty to love you, mighty, oh God, to go and take risk on you, Father God. Hallelujah, Father. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Father, Lord, we pray that you will speak, oh God. Hallelujah. Thank you in Jesus' name. We're going to just sing one more time. We're going to make it just a simple, real quick, just very quick dedication. Hallelujah. We are here. Why are we here? Every week we're here. We're here because we know God has a plan and purpose for you. And God's plan and purpose for you is bigger than what we can do. Is that true? You and I cannot do it. If God called you, you cannot do it in your own strength. I cannot do it in my own strength. It's much bigger. Only God can do it. And very often God brings us to a place of surrender. Lord, I want you to have your way. I just want to bring my life as a surrender, Lord. Hallelujah. God's also speaking into my heart. It's like Paul, you know, again and again, come to a place of total surrender, that the power of God will rest upon our life more strongly. Because when we are in control, God's power is not strong. Hallelujah. So I believe there's such potential here. I really believe such potential. Let's bring us to the surrender and let God do the miracle. Let God take 5 fish and 2 loaves of our little lives and feed 5,000 and have 12 baskets left over. Amen? Hallelujah. 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 It's just a surrender. Let's surrender. Hallelujah, Father. Because there is a strong prayer in your heart. I really sense this in the Spirit. Such prayer resonating in so many hearts here, saying, God, use me. Feed. Do something. Lord, I don't want to just protect my life and die. I want something more. Hallelujah. Father God, we bring our life afresh. On our own, we are weak, Lord. But when you receive it, Lord, the supernatural power comes and takes over. Lord, let it be in Jesus' name. Lord, let the nations, oh God, see your glory in the name of Jesus. Lord God, let the nations be awakened to the beauty and the mercy and the glory of God in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Father God, you are, Lord, you are the desire of all nations. Father, I pray that you will set our hearts aflame for you, O God. Lord, fill us, Lord God. We need more love for you. We need, Lord, reckless love for you. Oh, Father, hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're going to sing just one last time. Hallelujah. And I'm going to also pray. I'm going to ask actually Edwin to come and close the prayer with a blessing. Would you do that, Edwin? Is that okay? I feel that you're going to do it. But we're going to sing it once. I'm going to, in fact, you know, pray and release God's favor. Hallelujah. 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 This is our heart, Lord. Lord, we cannot do it. Lord, you know there's a calling in this church, calling on your life, and we in our own strength can't do it. But Lord, we believe you can. You are more than able. Come and take over our lives, oh God. Let your power come in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, in Jesus' name. We're going to sing it once. And we need unity. Not just agreeing with one, the spiritual unity of purpose and power and love. And we're going to sing it once and going to ask Edwin to just pray and bless you. Bless us. Bless this church in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Okay, verse 1 and 2. I'm going to sing it once through.
Jesus, Lord, I just pray, like in Psalm 133, that you pour out the oil in this church, Lord, as it flows down from the top of Aaron's head to every crevice, that you pour out your Holy Spirit upon this church, Lord. Lord, that everyone here, collectively and individually, will rise up and let just be drenched and be covered in that Holy Spirit, your Holy Spirit pouring out, cleaning, and just going to every crevice of their lives, Lord, that they will come to a place of surrender, Lord. Lord, that that dew from Mount Hermon will flow like a life-giving river, that River Jordan is, that will bring life to their lives, Lord. And in turn, they will let it flow out of their lives and bring blessing and life to the people around them, Lord. Lord, I just pray, Lord, for this church, Lord, that your fire, that you will set this church on fire, Lord. That you will set this church on fire collectively, Lord, and individually, Lord, that you will cause everyone here to rise up to the calling that you have for them, Lord. That they will step boldly because you have gone ahead for them, Lord. You will stay, will step boldly and flow into things, Lord. And I pray for John 14:12 over everyone here and as this church, Lord. The greater works that you promise, Lord, that you promise that we all will do in your name, Lord. We want to claim that because of the unity that exists, and we stand on that, your promises, Lord. It is yes and amen. I just want to praise and thank you for the favor and the grace that you have given us, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. That's good. Okay. Okay, the Lord bless you. I'll just stick around here for anyone who needs just a prayer. In fact, just let's pray for yeah.
Can I say something? All right. About National Prayer Network, is it okay?
Oh, yeah.
Just that the National Prayer Network, we happen in our church, the foundation course actually starting on the 7th of September to the 9th of September. Now, if you want to come, because sometimes it's really hard to get a space, you got to commit yourself to all the 3 days. No point in registering. If you register,
you make sure you come for all the 3 days. And they're very, very encouraging testimony and all that in that prayer network. You should come. It's very encouraging. I encourage you to go to the website and register for yourself. Okay? Our GI website. Mm. Is that okay?
That's right.
Yeah? Everyone pray and then register as soon as possible. Because I will get other people from other churches to register as well. But I want to give the priority to you guys. Please fill it up quickly. We actually, maximum we can take is maybe 250 or something. I'm not sure. Is that maximum?
I'm not sure. I think first win, first served. So
first come, first served. So please register.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Right. Thank you.
Okay. Let me just 1 second prayer for healing. This is the Father God, we pray that your Holy Spirit come and heal every sickness and diseases. Lord, we pray in the name of Jesus, you'll drive out every disease, every sickness, every cold in the name of Jesus. I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. Every pain in the name of Jesus, you will leave this room. Leave your God's people's body right now in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. We receive your healing. I just feel the heat in my hand. Just let's just receive the healing. Father God, we thank you. We just send this healing, Lord God, for the members of our family. Lord, let the oil of your healing flow right now in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. How many feel just the heat and oil? Father, in the name of Jesus, touch every body, every physical body in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. Amen. The Lord bless you. It's tea and coffee.